나기를 바라나니 야쇼라 난다 나브라자자 나란자나 야쇼라 난다 나브라자자 나란자나 야무나 피라바나 자리 Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Girivada Dari Yashoda Nanda Nabraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanda Nabraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajaka Acharya Ashtotra Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki This Khan Founder Acharya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Gopremanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guru. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhuta Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namana Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vachana Nira Vishesh Sunyavari Pasya Sudhansa Dhamma Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming this evening to the Hare Krishna Temple. We're going to be reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita from chapter 11, the universal form, text number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll read the Sanskrit through and then read Prabhupada's translation in purport. Tasmat tvam ushad yaso Tasmat tvam udishta yaso labhasva Jivas vrim vokta svarajyam siddham Maya vite nisata purvam eva Nimitta matram bhava satchi satchi Translation. Well, maybe we should do a little context first because the first word of the translation is therefore. obviously referring to something that's gone before. So what went before was something that has never been seen before. That is the universal form of the Lord. In this 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very detailed description is given how personally the Lord is doing everything all at once. Can you imagine seeing that, being able to conceive that? Actually, it's not possible to conceive that without being given special vision, divya drishti. Then one can see everything by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So that's all that's gone on before, so therefore we're at the word. Therefore, get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. Purport. Savyasachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus, Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish people who do not know the plan of the Supreme, who do not have sufficient knowledge, think that nature is moving without a plan, and all manifestations are but accidental formations. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this, or maybe like that, but there is no question of perhaps or maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality, which makes them try to lord it over the plan of the Lord and cultivate as long as they have the dominating mentality which makes them try to lord it over material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. The creation and destruction of the cosmic manifestation are under the superior guidance of God. Therefore, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om ajnana timarandasya dhananjana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri guru namaha. I picked this verse to speak on this evening following a choice of this verse that took place earlier in the day and yesterday. I was involved in a Zoom conference. It was an international conference of the ISKCON legal department. So there was a call full of lawyers and people interested in lawyerly things. And at the end of that conference, the general counsel for the governing body commission, his name is Devaki Nandan Prabhu from Singapore, he chose this verse to close the conference. So I thought that if I opened with this verse, that we could examine the conference a little bit. Well, there's 700-something verses in Bhagavad Gita, and we believe the purport, it says everything is going according to the plan of the Lord, so it must be the plan of the Lord that you talked about this morning, and that we're continuing talking about it this afternoon. But the reason why he chose it is because we had just gone through 2 days of looking at difficult legal challenges that face ISKCON, and trying to figure out some alternatives or courses of action, what to do. But it's based in his realization. He chose this verse based on his realization that everything is going according to the plan of the Lord. It's not anything happenstance or by mistake. Everything happens according to the plan of the Lord. And accepting that, one sees oneself nimittu matra, simply as an instrument. People who are undevotional, who resist or hate service to God or submissiveness to God, when they hear something like this, it drives them crazy. That just an instrument, you don't know who I am, what I've done, what I've thought, how I've worked. You don't know any of that. So therefore, how can you negate and say, I'm just an instrument? I'm a doer. That's the principal nature of the conditioned soul. He thinks that he's the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the personality of Godhead. What is that verse? He thinks he's the doer. Sakate kriyamana ni gunai karvana sarvasha. Ahankara gurunat makita taham iti amiti. Ahankara, due to the influence of the Lord. Even in that, he thinks he's carrying out the activities of his activities and doing this and gaining that and losing that. But in actuality, all these activities are carried out by the Supreme Lord. And even your thinking that you're doing these things is basically a misunderstanding because of ahankara. Because of the Lord's nature, his influence, you take the position that you're doing it. So, how can we be just an instrument? That should be our meditation. That should be our realization based on experience of this material world, that we're not the doer, and that if we depend upon the Supreme Lord, then we're useful. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example in this regard. He talks about a little screw. Now, if that screw is part of a bigger machine, it has its purpose, it has its function. If it's just an instrument put in its place in the machine, then it's there. It's there for some reason. The machine is designed to have so many supports or levers, whatever is necessary. So it has its purpose. But if that little screw falls out, then it's asara, it's useless. It has no purpose. That's actually the position of material existence. We're all just basically screws that have fallen out of the machine. So we need to get back in the machine, and then our lives will be useful. But we can't get back in the machine by ourselves, just like that little screw on the floor. It's not going to just jump up and screw itself back in. Somebody, something has to intervene to put us back in the machine. Who guesses, who understands what it is? How do we get back in the machine? Yes, exactly. The spiritual master, he has the potency of the Supreme Lord. He acts non-differently than the Supreme Lord. And he comes and he picks us up and he puts us back in the machine. He makes our life useful. And that way, we can just act as an instrument. But now you may say that, boy, you're really making this simplistic. The world is a lot more complicated than that. How can you just say some silly, simple analogy like that and expect me to give up all that I've worked for, that I've studied for, and that I think I am for many lifetimes? Well, it is complicated. It is very complex. I'm also part of a study group, and we're studying some of the origins of Vaishnavism. Philosophical, it's a philosophical group, meets once a week to explore some of the philosophical origins of Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism, which is encapsulated in that small example of putting the screw back in the machine. There's a tremendous amount of philosophy and philosophical debate that's gone on for centuries between those that understand their position as a screw out of the machine and those who claim that there's no machine and there's no screw. And so, yes, it's a very complicated subject matter. But we're very fortunate that in this Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord, same person who comes in the form of the spiritual master, picks up that screw and puts us in the machine, that same Supreme Lord has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says that all of this can be understood and completed by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's all. During the course of our study, I asked the devotee leading the subject, well, those impersonalists, they say that everything is Maya. What kind of thing do they recommend? What kind of sadhana do they speak about? What kind of spiritual practices do they urge us to take up so we can understand that ultimately there's nothing? And the response I got was that, well, the first step is you have to take sannyas. And I said, well, Kalosudrasambhava, I mean, how many people are going to, sannyas is forbidden in this age, I mean, how many people are ready to take up that path, starting with, first thing, right off the bat, take sannyas? It's complicated, it's hard. Sit down and study all day. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful, and he's come and he's said to us that I'll tell you what to do. Just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant and dance as if you were at a party or a festival all day long. That's all. Who wouldn't take up that path, wouldn't take that option as compared to becoming a sannyasi, giving up everything, and then merging into the nothingness? It's not a hard decision to make, and it's not a hard path to take. We just have to accept the basic principle that starts with, I'm just an instrument. And a prayer that, please use me as your instrument. This is for everybody. It's not just limited to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita and this circumstance that he's in. It applies to each and every one of us the same way. Here, Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that Savi Sachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. So Arjuna had a specific talent, and that was shooting arrows. Savyasachin, one who's expert in shooting arrows. So you recall this conversation is taking place in a battlefield, and so the battle's getting ready to start, and Arjuna is an important part of that. He's an important instrument to be used. So Lord Krishna tells him, just be an instrument. Just be an instrument. Be the instrument that's needed at this time and this place for this purpose. That's what he wanted Arjuna to do. He wasn't even asking him to become a sannyasi, to do something hard. He was asking him to do something that's born of his nature. He was a warrior by nature. He trained to be a warrior. He excelled at his training. So he was being asked to do that which he is familiar with, he's expert at. He wasn't asked to do something else. The Lord is in control of everything, as Prabhupada says in the purport. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. So Krishna has a plan. Just like somebody designs a machine. And they say, this little screw goes here, and it has this purpose. That little screw goes there, and has there a different purpose. So it's not that there's just one purpose. There are multiple purposes that are all based on our individual proclivities and talents. It's not impersonalism. If we have some particular talent, the Lord is anxious to use that for his purpose. That's what it means to be, just be an instrument. Just be an instrument, Krishna says. I have a plan. And I need you to do this particular service. So he was speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna was a warrior. He could shoot arrows expertly. That was what was needed. And Krishna was asking him, because you have that, I want you to do this particular thing, just like you're a servant. But guess what? All of us have some particular talent, some particular inclination, some particular ability. And Krishna wants us to use that too. He doesn't want us to do what Arjuna was doing. Go to the battlefield. You have no experience shooting a bow and arrow. You don't know what you're doing. He's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to do what you do, but just doing it for him. Be an instrument in that way. The screw actually likes being in its place in the machine, because he can function naturally there. So we can also function naturally by our proclivities, by our talents, by our abilities. And that's all that Krishna's asking us when he says, just be an instrument. So it's very encouraging news. Very encouraging news. So we should take it. So at our conference, I was telling you about, we had a room full, actually, but not a room full, because it was a virtual room full, pretty big room, had people there from West Africa, East Africa, India, all over Europe, Brazil, here in the States, Singapore. There are 100 people registered worldwide for this conference. I'm not sure how they turned up, whether they're all there, 100 at once or not, but they had a pretty good number, 40, 50, like that, those numbers at a time. Basically, all lawyers are those who have worked with legal issues. And they were there for one purpose, to try to just be an instrument. Now, admittedly, it was hard for a bunch of lawyers to just be an instrument, because lawyers generally think they're the controllers, and they'll be able to shift things in such a way that their client wins. That's how they think. But we already talked about giving up that mentality and just be a servant, just be an instrument. If we take that kind of attitude, we found in discussions over 2 days that there's much to be done to preserve and protect Srila Prabhupada's movement as he wanted it to be. There's much to be done to serve the devotees, to care for the well-being of the devotees, so that they may peacefully execute their service. And then there are the issues surrounding transitions in this material world. Devotees departing from the world, devotees coming into the world, creating a place where they all feel safe and comfortable, cared for. These are all things that the devotees from around the world realize could be accomplished if we just take this attitude of being an instrument. So the challenge comes, how will we ourselves, each one of us individually, how will we just become an instrument? It takes some initiative. It does take some initiative. Not to the point where it's so hard that it's discouraging just to put your feet, one foot in front of the other. It does take some endeavor. But we shouldn't be fear that we won't be successful. Prabhupada used to tell us that if you take one step toward Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. And I've seen how our God brothers have understood this, realized it, and engaged others, giving them the opportunity to just be an instrument by just taking one step toward Krishna. Our God brother Vaisheshika Prabhu, he visited here a couple of years ago. He's constantly traveling, getting everyone he meets to just be an instrument by giving Krishna to others. And so he was with a bunch of devotees new to Sankirtan service, and he knew that sometimes there's some hesitation in this regard. So he said, we are not, what we're going to do is, we're just going to get in the car. We're just going to get in the car, that's all. That's all we're doing. We're going to go get in the car and drive someplace. And we're just going to touch the pavement. When we get there, we're just going to touch the pavement. That's all. Just touch the pavement. So step by step, he encouraged us to the point where those that are for the first time in their life approaching others with Krishna conscious liturgies did it with strength and conviction, telling people what? Just be an instrument. Just be God's instrument. And we can do that very easily by hearing, reading his books, chanting Hare Krishna. So when we look at devotional service this way, that we just have to do a little bit of surrender to Krishna, a little bit of taking a step towards him, then the entire universe opens up to us. Just like in this 11th chapter here. The whole universe, its creation, its destruction, its maintenance, was seen all at one time by Arjuna. Seems inconceivable. How can you see everything that's taking place all over the universe at one time in one place? But Krishna is an incredibly talented person. And he showed that to Arjuna, and he was able to convince him. He's willing to do that for us as well. We just have to take one step to him, turn to him, desire. Don't do anything. Just desire to get back in the machine. Just have that desire in your heart. And Krishna will take things from there. So that's why Devakinandan Prabhu chose this verse to read at the last moment of the conference. And we talked about so many plans and so many activities, and we may not have the money or the time or anything to do them, but at least if we make a plan, surrender to Krishna and make a plan, then if it's in accordance with his plan, then it'll be successful, that's all. So we needn't stop thinking, oh, that'll never happen. That kind of attitude doesn't get us anywhere. I've seen that attitude. And I've seen the difference that an attitude can make. If you go to Sridharmayapur today, you'll see an example that is the result of someone thinking, well, we can do this, as opposed to, it'll never happen. We can do this because we're part of the Lord's plan, utilizing our talents, our abilities, whatever God has given us, to be an instrument. And then it manifests by His grace, not solely by our endeavor, but by His grace it happens. But if we're naysayers, it'll never happen, then it won't ever happen. We just have to be an instrument. If we can manage that, we can catch a hold of that idea and live it. Live it, breathe it, give it to others. Then, as Prabhupada says here in the last sentence of the purport, if one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. Our lives are perfected just like that screw just being screwed back into the machine. So these are some things you might want to think about. Try to implement in your life. All of us have some skill or ability. We should think how we can utilize it. It's not that it has no uses. It has no use. Otherwise, how would Krishna created if it has no use? He's got a plan that includes everything that's said right in the purport. So he's got a plan that covers everything. That means he's got a place for us in the plan. Our meditation should be, what's my place in the plan? Because I figure out what my place in the plan is, then I figured out the goal of my life, and then I can execute it with full faith and confidence. By doing so, I'll go back home, back to Godhead, and I'll be able to run to the forest of Vrindavan playing with Krishna. That's what can be accomplished just by getting back into the machine with whatever talents we have. So there are questions, comments, anything that we can discuss here? Yes?
If everything is coming from Krishna and everything's going on exactly as Krishna has planned, so Arjuna's getting his arrow shooting skills from Krishna. He must be the expert arrow shooter. So I was wondering if you could just like kind of end on a higher note with what arrows Krishna's shooting where.
Well, Krishna is shooting an arrow that got all of us sitting here right now off of our seat into our car and drive over to the temple here and sit here for whatever few minutes we have in the presence, the beautiful presence of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundara, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gauranga. There are many people that didn't take that step. They also, I mean, otherwise, we know how many devotees are in Alachua. This place would be overcrowded. But you chose to take the steps, therefore Krishna had his arrow pointed at your back. But that's an arrow, it's a pushpin arrow. It's an arrow of love, it's not an arrow of destruction. And so he uses that arrow of love to guide us very gently to take that step towards him. And fortunately, hopefully one day, due to the mischievous nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that when he's pointing his arrow at us, he'll push us over. Not just depend on the stick in the back. But he'll push us over and joyfully run with the other cowherd boys away so we can get up and run after him. So Krishna has a lot of different purposes he solves by his arrows. And he likes his devotees to do that also. Maybe he won't do that. That's okay. He'll send his devotee and his devotee will do it. Thank you. Any other points? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was such a great example. I was thinking how at different times in my life, or maybe throughout the life, every now and then, I feel as if, or someone tells me, you know, you've got a couple screws loose. But to actually feel that I am a loose screw, that's kind of a novel idea. But my question is on my mind lately. I know this is the age of Kali, the age of quarrel, iron age of quarrel, and it feels like, maybe it's just because I was a child before and I'm older now, but it feels like there's never been so much quarrel and pointing out somebody else who has their screws loose or is a loose screw. And how can we learn to focus more on getting myself into the correct position than trying to think I should fix everybody else?
Well, you know, this world, fixing this world is a useless endeavor. I mean, I've been in management of ISKCON for nearly 50 years. I don't really think there's one problem that I've been able to solve in that time period. And I think if you ask other managers, they'll give you a similar experience. We can't fix this world, but we can fix ourselves. We can make ourselves immune. We can chant Hare Krishna, we can practice spiritual disciplines in such a way that we can insulate ourselves from this material world and its troublesome nature until the point when we're ready to leave this material world. So to think we can fix everything in this world and make it Vaikuntha, a place without anxiety, a place where there are no problems, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's Krishna's nature. But when he says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Satyachram, what is it? No. That Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Yes. Material nature is very difficult to overcome. So how do we overcome it? By surrendering to Krishna. That's all. Otherwise it's not possible. Making some artificial arrangement to make this place without difficulty is not possible. Also, Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka, Punaravartin, Arjuna. From the topmost planet to the lower planet, they're all places of misery. Why? Because repeated birth and death take place there. So the purpose of the machine and the instrument of the machine is not to change Krishna's nature, this material nature. It's to return to our original nature. And that's what we should concentrate on trying to do. And what do we do with the misery we find around us? We simply have to tolerate. But the toleration is not even meant to be so bad when you have the association of devotees. That's one of the benefits of the association of devotees. If we suffer together, we suffer less. Does that answer your question? Anything? Yes, Prabhu.
In the Old Testament, in the Psalms, there's a statement that is written by one of the psalmists, and he says, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of arrows," which can be applied to Arjuna, I would hope. However, many in the 20th century now are saying that the arrows are children. And so if a man has a lot of children in his quiver, then he's very blessed of God, which is up for question. But my point, and I appreciate your emphasis on Lord Chaitanya, I draw to Lord Chaitanya a lot because he's very simple. I got tired of being heavy burdened with facts about 20 years ago. I just got tired of it. I went to seminars where it was like, okay, now we're going to teach you 10 ways of being a good manager in 3 minutes. You know, or this is how your religion is going to be. You know, do this, do that, do this, write this, do this, do this, do this. But what I'm just trying to say is that I try to keep simple. I don't do it all the time. But Lord Chaitanya is always my goal for keeping simple. And the last thing I'll simply share with you is that in the book When the Sun Shines, which is about the Hare Krishnas in the early days of the 70s, which, oh, if I could bring that back. But my point is there's a letter to one of the girls who wanted to be in the temple, but she was too young. And Prabhupada wrote her and simply said, now just go get yourself a picture of Lord Chaitanya, sit in front of the picture, and chant your beads. And you will be successful. And that's wow. So I just wanted to say again, being the devotees is a very good thing. And being with Lord Chaitanya is even better because he keeps it so simple.
Simple for the simple. That's beautiful. Thank you very much, Prabhu. I admire your experience of coming to that realization, because sometimes we just get caught up in thinking that more is better, or let me change this to correct that. And it's actually deviating us from that simple path that Lord Chaitanya gave us. So always being keen to fix ourselves on the straight and narrow, then that's beneficial. I mean, I love children and everything like that, but I'm not sure that a quiver full of them is.
You should watch 19 and counting.
I was staring at this verse, and I was thinking another way to look at also what you gave is perfect. That this verse also indicates that the result of the Arjuna's trouble is already done. It's not like he's going to create the result. I mean, on the third line I see that Krishna says, I have the result. Only thing you have to do, the fourth line, nimitta matra, either you align with my plan or it will take place anywhere. So we can we make it relevant to our life that our devotional life is already, the result is already done. As long as we follow, then we'll experience that.
Yeah, well, when something gets done, there's a certain relief, there's a certain sense of accomplishment that we have, generally when something is done. So, as you're saying, the verse says, well, Krishna's already done this, it's already completed, it's according to his plan, it's going to happen. So the problem is, we tend to not accept that it's done, and therefore we're putting mm-hmm. ourselves mm-hmm. unnecessarily to trouble. If we just accept it, Krishna says it's done, and that's the way it's supposed to be. I accept that. I don't have to keep trying to make it myself or be part of it in a way that I'm not part of it. I just have to accept Krishna. That's surrender to Krishna, giving up our burden. You know that play the devotees used to do in the old days, two banks of a river, and there's a Sankirtan party on one side, dancing and chanting, Hari Bodhi, and they're having a great time. And there's somebody on the other side just laboring hard, uselessly. So they're inviting him, come over and join us, come over. All you have to do is what?
Chant and dance.
Well, all you have to do is put down all the stuff that you're dealing with, and leave it there and come over here. It'll be okay because it's already done. Your maintenance is already taken care of. You don't have to worry. Place to live, food to eat, life. It's already done. You just have to accept it. But we find it hard to accept it sometimes. Mm. Therefore, we have to hear constantly.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes.
Somebody else?
Bhakti.
One?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your beautiful class. I really am appreciating this analogy of this screw and and being a little screw. And I guess my question is, it's kind of twofold, but when I speak to a lot of my peers nowadays, and it just seems to be this sweeping emptiness that has come over, at least I'm experiencing in my generation, a certain kind of a lack of direction or feeling of purposefulness. It's like, I want to work at a job where I feel purposeful. That's the most important, that I'm making a difference in life. Or just feeling, okay, my service, that I'm making some kind of impact. And when you're saying that, oh, just accepting that the work has already been done, it could feel a little bit like, then why am I here? What's my purpose in being here? And I would think that little screw, if it does come loose and it is missing from the machine, the whole machine could break down. And so that feeling that, oh, I guess I'm important in my own little way. On my own, I don't have any importance. But if I am part of Krishna's plan, then it would be nice to experience that I have some significance in some way. If there's some way you could address that feeling of like maintaining a humility that I am small, and even Krishna has already completed whatever is meant to be done, so not thinking that I'm the doer, but that I still have some kind of significance in Krishna's eyes and Krishna's plan, as well as feeling that I really appreciate this devotee's comment that, you know, Krishna consciousness can be so simple, we can find that purposefulness even in the simplest ways. It's just, how do we balance that feeling of Krishna has already completed everything and yet my part is still important, no matter how small.
Hmm. Well, Krishna has a way. Thank you for the question. It's very nice, very deep. I'm not sure I can do it justice. But let me just say that Krishna as a way of dealing with us individually that satisfies or gives us a sense of completeness without a large endeavor. In other words, we're thinking we have to do so much, but Krishna will give us the satisfaction of having accomplished a lot just doing simple things. And that's something about God, His completeness that He's sharing with us. And it can be accomplished not by a lot, but even just a little. You get that. So, but we have to have that faith, because that's not the way material nature works. Material nature works that you have to give everything. Yeah, of course you have to give everything to Krishna also, but in a way that's sort of rajarsic. You know, it never is enough. It's never good enough. You're talking about you want to be satisfied that you're purposeful. But if you take a material path to that, it will never be enough. You'll never feel that you're purposeful. it'll always be. Like Prabhupada gave the example of that gentleman who was dying. Doctor, can you give me 5 more years? I have so many plans to complete. And Prabhupada gives it to point out that it's the desire to be materially purposeful and successful and complete is part of the illusory energy of the Lord. And so we have to learn, we have to cultivate acceptance of the simple, simple relation with Krishna, simple life. When we do that, then Krishna can make us feel completely satisfied. That's what the experience of Krishna is, completely satisfied. But I have a message for your generation, my own message, and that is that I can appreciate how you're feeling, but you should know that we, or me, or my generation, is waiting here for you, you know, so that if you need help to feel complete or feel accomplished or just feel yourself an instrument, we're here to help you. Not that we have, you know, turned our back on you and we're going to go back to Godhead. Who cares what happens with you? We want to bring everyone with us. So that hopefully will give some feeling of assistance, which will help the feeling of purposefulness that you're looking for. Just like in a family, the parents, they want to see their children grow and become purposeful people. And they don't do that by separating from them. They do that by keeping a close bond with them. And so that's the kind of thing that we can offer you. And hopefully we'll all go back together. Okay, Madam Mati.
Thinking about Bhakti's question, I was wondering whether it is not the satisfaction so much about doing something. You're talking about keeping the being humble at the same time feeling satisfied. I guess the satisfaction would be that I acted as an instrument, more than the accomplishment. I was thinking about how Srila Prabhupada would his expression would be that I just followed my spiritual master, followed his instructions. So I'm just an instrument. I just follow what he asked me to do, and that is what I'm doing. So it's more not about what he accomplished, whether it did get accomplished or not, but the fact is I acted as an instrument.
Exactly. And who's the example from Ramayana, Lila, of that, to the perfection? Jatayu, yes. Jatayu. Sita told him, you won't be successful. You can't defeat Ravana. You won't be successful. But he didn't care. He gave his all to save Sita, even though he was killed. And as a result, what happened? The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, came and did his funeral ceremony, sent him back to God. Yes, he became most successful. Yes. Okay, we'll end there. Thank you, Ashwin Bhagavad Gita.